Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
I don't know how you are feeling, but I'll tell you about I am feeling. I feel this place is filled up with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is taking control. While the praise and the worship team was singing, I felt that the Holy Spirit is taking control of my entire body. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's all we have to do is allow ourselves for the Holy Spirit to take control. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's why we are here at the house of the worship in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm here to speak about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak about Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is with me. Jesus is on the street. Just as the worship team sang, Jesus on the street. Jesus in the mountains. Jesus in our homes. Jesus in our family. Jesus with our kids, our children. Jesus in encounter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
So we are experiencing the presence of God right now. Hallelujah. Because we want him.
Yeah.
Jesus, we want you, Jesus.
Yeah.
We want you, Holy Spirit, to take control. Hallelujah. Let's avail our hearts in the presence of the Lord, saints. That's how we can feel the Spirit of God start burning inside us. Hallelujah. I remember Bruce has spoke about, and he continuously keep on talking about it. This place is a place of praise. This place is a place of praise. And Bruce said, like, we have to intensify our prayer so we can see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we're not going to stop praising him until we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We're going to keep on going on and on and on and on until we're going to see, and we'll see more and more and more. Hallelujah. Because our God is unlimited.
Yeah.
Praise to the Lord. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I'm not going to take long. And when the season of testimony started, and God is taking us to a level that we are learning every single Sunday, for those who are standing here and share the testimony, and all the testimony that we are getting, yes, is strengthening our spirit and is edifying the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We are benefiting a lot, so we have to take advantage of it. So when this season started, I'm just going to talk a little about, I was the first one to speak. And suddenly, I was sick. I got sick that week. And I sent Bruce a message. I said, Bruce, I'm not going to make it. I don't feel well. He said, that's fine. And since that, and Bruce sent a message about, preparing the outline. So as I was trying to prepare my outline, every time I tried to prepare my outline, I was getting so lazy. I couldn't do it. So I'll do it tomorrow, tomorrow after tomorrow, and after tomorrow, and after tomorrow. I say, what's going on? I'm trying to concentrate and, organize my outline, but I couldn't do it. And weeks went by. I said, what's going on? I'll do it tomorrow. Next time, I'll do it next time, next tomorrow, tomorrow. And what happened? I didn't do it. And then I had a dream. I had a dream. Terry came to my house. He rang the bell. It was early in the morning in the dream. I woke up, he was like, I want your testimony. I was like, Terry, are you serious? You want my testimony? He said, I want your testimony. He said, that's why I came to your house. I woke up, I said, what's going on? What is Terry doing in my house? You know? And I said, you know what? When I came to the church that the following Sunday, I told him about it. I said, Terry, I saw you came to my house to collect my testimony. He said, yes. You want to give it? I said, okay, I'll be out of trouble. I'll do my best and give it to you. So that week I started working on it so I can get my testimony, I'll align, ready, and give it to Terry. So I sent it to him. And then weeks went by. Then I had another dream. And that dream was who now? It's not Terry now, it's Bruce. Bruce got him in the office. He said, man, sit down. And then he had like two ladies that were sitting down there. One had a recording, and another one had like a microphone. And Bruce said, okay, your outline is not clear. You have to give us some explanation about it. So I want you to tell me about what you're going to be speaking on Sunday. You know how Bruce, when he's speaking, very serious, right? I don't want to tell you, right, you know? And I was like, okay, Bruce, I'm going to tell you right now. So we sat down there, and I start explaining everything. I woke up again. I said, what's going on with these two men? They've shown up in my dream for the testimony that I'm about to testify, about to give. And I found out, I started praying, I found out that the Lord is using these two guys tremendously. Hallelujah. God is using them even to bring them into my dreams. It's God who is speaking to me through them. Hallelujah. God is speaking to me through them. I gave glory to God. Since, let's pray a lot about these two guys. I'm not here to praise them. I'm praising the name of the Lord. I'm saying what I have seen. God is using them. Hallelujah. Let's give a shout out for God for using these two guys. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 I'm not going to Father, we go to, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor because you are God and you are worthy to be praised. Take control of this service, Holy Spirit, from the beginning up to the end. Lord, we avail ourselves in your presence. We avail our hearts to worship you, to give you honor and glory. Father, above, here on earth, under the earth, there's no God like you. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are God over all spirits. And now I declare all the spirits that does not glorify your name in this place, and I'll command it to shut their mouth and get out of here in the name of Jesus. Only Lord Jesus is worthy to be praised in this place. Hallelujah. All the spirit of destruction that's come to distract your saint while you're going to speak, I command it in the name of Jesus to leave this place. Hallelujah. Because the honor and the glory is holy to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to the book of Proverbs. I'm just going to speak a little bit on it. Book of Proverbs. Okay. I'll find Proverbs. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Okay, Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 said, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Amen. Okay. What's the proverb trying to talk about? It? The child, the children, they need a training from their parents. So the training that we provide for the children is for them to have the values that we hold and for them to act the same way we act. But we as a Christian, what we do, we should train our children because we know that our values, that we are the children of God, and we want our children too to grow in the same way as the children of God, to have the fear of the Lord, and not to involve with the things of this world, but to walk according God's law. Amen. So that's our duties. That's our duty, what we do for our children. And while we train our children in the value of knowing God and to walk according to the law of God, so Proverbs said here, even when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know, because we have a young stage, and we get to the stage of teenager, and everyone who have children see when children get to the stage of teenager, so they act very well, and you know, they looks like they don't want to hear, they don't want to hear to the parents, they don't want to listen to the parents, you know, they want to do things on their way. But one thing that we have to remember, when we put our knees down, we pray for our kids, we pray for our children, and we instruct them to walk according God's law. Even they get to that age, they get crazy, they do strange stuff. But what we have done in the beginning, training them in a way of God, it will come back. God will bring them back no matter what. We'll bring them back to the way and the how we have trained them. Amen? They were not going to escape. Because when we pray for our kids, our God hears our prayer. Amen? Yeah. Our God hears our prayer. And our prayer are in the store. Even you see them doing whatever they do, the time is going to come. Let them. Their prayers, our prayers as a parent, they are in the store. Know what the time he's going to manifest those prayers and touch their life. And themselves, they're going to say, no, it's the time. My parents taught me this. This is how I'm going to go. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So let's train our children in the ways of God. Yeah. The way world we are living now is very evil. Hallelujah. The system is destroying our kids. Hallelujah. The system wants to distract our kids from ways that doesn't give our God glory. Hallelujah. That's why we need to pray for our children. Hallelujah. We're not going to allow the devil to destroy our children. Hallelujah. Let's pray for our children. They are our future generation. Hallelujah. And these children, they belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. They do not belong to the devil. Hallelujah. The devil can do all the trap, all ways to destroy our children. Our children are in God's hands. Hallelujah. That's why we need to pray for the guidance of God. Also pray, God, to give us a leader who has the value of Christianity. Hallelujah. We need to pray to God. Pray. So the devil won't take place. And God sent those he chose. Hallelujah. Those who are going to lead us. Hallelujah. According to the value of Christianity, the value of fearing the Lord. Hallelujah. Not those who want to lead us in the value of accepting things that do not glorify God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Me, I was born in a Christian family. My father was a pastor. He lived all his life pastoring until he died, along with my mother. And there was no way for me to escape. Every Sunday morning, there had been a church, Sunday school, and sometimes even my friends, you know, those the parents, they used to not go to church. They go play. I want to play. But my father said, you're going to church. You got to go to church. You know, so when we are kids, sometimes we don't understand things, you know. But after growing up, we start understanding and the value the words of our parents. Amen. And growing up in the church, my father baptized me. And I was like 13 when my father baptized me at the church. And I grew up, I was in a choir, and I played flute. But when I reached the age of 16, at a strange age, and I started acting up, giving them a headache. And the 17, it became even worse. 18, you know, like here in the U.S., 18, I'm free. I can do whatever I want, you know, freedom, you know. But my parents, they won't let me have that freedom. Gotta go to church. You have to be in the church. But I ended up, you know what, running away from my parents, and I started living with my older brother because I thought that there would be more freedom there, you know. And I put myself in the things of this world, hanging up with the friends, having fun all the time, you know, and following women, girls all the time behind the girls, you know. You want to have this girl, you want to have that one, you want to have that one. You feel like, okay, I can have any girl I want, and, you know, freedom, my parents, they can't do nothing, you know. So I was having that type of life. So I thought it was good. It was not good. So my father was very disappointed with me, you know, very disappointed, and he couldn't do nothing. And I was over there, running with the friends, with the girls, which I do not the way that they taught me. But the age, they will teach you. It came a time, me living with my brother, one of my father's best friends, he passed away. He died. So we used to call him uncle, because he was like my father's brother, you know. They were friends, but they were best friends. And we used to call him uncle. He passed away. He had just a stroke, and he died, just like that. And me and my brother, we sat down, we said, oh my God, daddy's friend passed away. So this is very serious. So we can't be playing with the life. The death can get you at any time. At any time. And if you're not prepared with the Lord, so what? You're going to have a second death. My brother said, let's pray. So we started praying. We prayed. So when we finished praying, I went in my room. I took the Bible and I started praying. I said, Lord, help me. Forgive me all my sins. So the time has come. All the prayers in the store, now they're going to start manifesting. So I prayed to the Lord. And I had a guiltiness feeling because from what I was doing and the disappointment that I gave to my parents. Week later, my father was not there. My father was in another town preaching the word of God. So a week later, I said, I'm going to fast. I just took a decision, myself a decision. I'm going to fast. So I said, I'm going to fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. My first time, I started fasting. So around 3 o'clock, my brother came, hey, come on, get some food, let's eat. That's what I said, I'm not going to eat. Okay, go grab food for me then. I went to the kitchen, I get the food. I was looking at the food, I said, wow, it looks so good. And I said, I'm fasting, but I can't eat. I took the food, my brother, sit down and eat. So I mean, I was so hungry. I couldn't hold it, and I started eating. And when I finished eating, I was like, my God, what did I do? I was fasting, I should not have eaten. So I decide in that moment, I decide in that moment, now I'm going to fast until tomorrow at 6 p.m. I said, God, give me strength. So I didn't eat. I didn't have no dinner. I fasted in the morning, in the evening, until 6 o'clock next day. I gave glory to God because he gave me strength. I said, thank you, Lord. I gave glory to God. And from that day, I started reading the Bible, praying. Reading the Bible, praying. And the weeks later, then I decided, I said, I want to fast again. From 6 to 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So I was inside my room. So I told my brother, I said, okay, I want to keep a privacy. I mean, he had kids. I said, I don't want kids to disturb me because I'm just going to stay in the room. So I stopped fasting. I stopped praying. I fasted and I stopped praying. I'm drinking a lot of water. Thank you. Can somebody grab me another bottle of water? Thank you. Thank you. And I start fasting, I start praying in my room. While I was praying in my room, because I love to put my knees down. It's a sign of humbling yourself in the presence of the Lord. So while I was praying, I had my knees down like this. Oh, God. This in the presence of the Lord. I was praying with my face down, giving glory to God. But suddenly something happened. I lifted my head up and my eyes opened. My hands were like this. My hands were like this. My eyes opened, and a light that came down covered my entire body like a flashlight. He came over entire my body, a light, and my head up, my eyes, looking into that eye, that light. It was so bright. It was so bright, but it was so strong, full of power of God. And even it froze my body. I could not shake. I could not move to the left, even on the right. I froze. My eyes were just looking to that light, and it hit me so bad, and I was glorifying God, saying, you are powerful, you are powerful. And every time I was glorifying God, you are powerful, my body was getting so hard, and I couldn't feel my body anymore. I was like a statue, and the power of God consumed me, and I said, I can't take it anymore. It's so powerful. And when I was saying that, the words of my mouth, I couldn't hear what I was saying, but I knew that what I was saying, the light even swallowed my voice. I couldn't hear my voice. Hallelujah. I couldn't hear my voice. The light swallowed my voice, and the power of the light, it was consuming my body. And I said, I can't take it anymore, Lord. You're so powerful, you're so powerful, you're so powerful. I felt like I didn't have no more flesh. I felt my body was like an iron. I couldn't feel my flesh anymore. That power was so strong. To the end, you can say, oh, Lord God, I know that you are God. I know you are powerful. Oh, Jesus. when that light went full, I fell down on the floor, just like this. I was sweating like someone who ran for miles. I was sweating and breathing like someone who ran for miles. Jesus Christ. I said, God, you are powerful. And that instant, I start singing a song, saying like, to you, Lord, I give my life. To you, I was singing in my language, it's called Kikongo. To you, I give my life. To you, I give myself. Because I saw the power of God. It was not a dream. It was not a dream. It was real. It was real. That's the moment I said that God exists. We are not wasting time here. Our God is alive. Yeah. Our God is alive, brothers. Our God is alive. Weeks later, I said, let me fast again. It was Sunday. I didn't go to church. I fasted all day. Somehow I felt staying home and pray. So I fasted. I was in the room praying, you know. And when it was like around 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, I was tired. You know, I felt like a tired. I said, okay, I think I should take a nap, you know. I took a nap in my room. So while I took a nap, I felt like I started falling asleep. I heard a voice calling my name. Matondo, Matondo, wake up, read Proverbs 8. I woke up, I said, like, I heard a voice that's calling my name. I said, now, I think I'm dreaming. I might be dreaming, that's why. So I went back to the bed again, you know, take a nap. I heard the same voice again, it repeated at the second time. Matondo, Matondo, wake up, read Proverbs 8. Whenever you get time, read Proverbs 8. I can read it a little bit just now, you know, if you mind. Proverbs 8, okay. God is so good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 8. You read the entire Proverbs 8. So when I woke up, Jesus, I woke up. I had my Bible on the side. So when I took my Bible, you know, the voice said Proverbs 8. I said, okay. I have to read this. This must be very serious. Second time, I'm hearing the voice. I opened my Bible, and my Bible went straight by Proverbs 8. I was like, what's this? You know, because when we open Bible, we are looking for a chapter. We flip the pages. But at that time, I didn't flip the page. I opened the Bible, and I was right there at the Proverbs 8. I was like, what is this? You know? I start reading the Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. I read it entire Proverbs 8. And while I was reading, I'm just going to read a little bit. That's not the wisdom call. That's not understanding raise her voice. On the height beside the way at the crossroad, she takes her stand beside the gates in the front of the town. At the entrance of the puddles, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men. O simple one, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I speak not things, and from my lips will come what is right. I can't continue reading because it's long. When you get your time to read it, get some time to read it. So while I was reading Proverbs 8, what happened? I was reading. I was hearing my voice coming on the walls like speakers. So the walls of my room became like speakers, you know? And I know my voice is not that loud enough as it was sounding from the speakers. Right now, I'm using the speaker, right? I'm going to turn it off. The walls of my room became loud. Amen. Loud. Just like I did turn on the speaker. It became so loud. And I stopped. I said, like, why my voice is so loud? And I was looking around. I said, what's going on? I kept on reading. And my voice became even louder. Louder. Louder, louder, like the waters of river. I don't know, for those who've been in Niagara Falls before, you can hear the loudness of the water dropping and falling, you know? It's a noise, that's how the walls of my room became. When I was speaking, it was louder, louder, louder. I got to the point I said, "Is the Lord speaking to me?" I just, you know, my spirit accepted it and said, "Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me." And while I was reading, my voice was so loud, tears were coming on my eyes, enjoying the presence of the Lord in that moment in my room. Hallelujah. Hearing from Him speaking to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, the presence of the Lord is so precious. Hallelujah. It's nice to be in the presence of the Lord, children. Children of God, saints, we are in the presence of the Lord now. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Get it. Embrace it. Hallelujah. This is the precious moment, hallelujah, to be in the house of the Lord. Because the same spirit that was with me in the room is the same spirit that we're experiencing here. Hallelujah. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. The spirit of God. Hallelujah. It's the spirit of God. God is visiting me the second time. It was not too long ago, like 2 weeks later. Oh, God. My brother had a stroke. My brother had a stroke, and he was rushed to the hospital. The first hospital, they couldn't do it. They said, no. If we keep him here, he's going to die. So we have to take him to another hospital. So they took him to another hospital. And instantly, he was in a coma. He was in a coma. And my brothers and my sister, we all got together. And my brothers and my sister, they went there to the hospital. They looked at him and said that, you know, it's like you instantly you're going to lose hope that he will live again. But all of my brothers, because I'm the last born from all my brothers. So I'm the last born. So they went to the hospital. And in that moment, I was going to meet a pastor to another region, another town, to tell him about what I've seen, about the light and the voice. Sorry. And My sister and my brother, they said, let's go to the hospital. I said, I can't. So that day, we didn't go. I didn't go. Next day, my sister and my brother, they went to the hospital. I didn't go. So I was thinking to meet that pastor and tell him what I was seeing. The third day, I didn't go. I went to meet with that pastor. I got there, and he was not there. You know, I was like, oh, my God, he's not here. So I took a transportation, and my brothers and my sister, they were in a hospital, you know. For those who been in Africa, you know, we call it taxi, you know. Actually, they are vans. They can take like a number of people in a van, and they have like a multiple stops. They stop someplace, some people get off, they go, they continue to stop someplace, some people go, they continue just like that, you know. And so I took that transportation, so heading to the hospital on my way, you know. So I had to make like a two stops. So the first stop was a big place. They call it a market. It's like a flea market, you know, where people come and sell different type of things, foods. I mean, so many things. There's a variety of what, so many things, you know. It's a huge place. In that just a huge place, there's some certain stuff, you know, because that transportation has to take people in that area, and some people, you know, they say, I'm going to stop here. So the car stopped and you get off. So I took that transportation on my way to that place so I can take another car so I can go and join my brothers to the hospital. And on our way, we were going in a car. There was someone. Stop the car. Hey, can you stop? Stop. The driver stopped. And that the same person, he came, he said, okay, there is a space so I can get in the car. And they usually they have someone, there's a driver, it's a long van, so a lot of people in there. And there's a guy who usually collected the money for those passengers. Okay? And the guy who collected the money, he said, there is no space for you. I mean, the car is full. You can get in. He was like, please, let me get in. He said, where are you going to sit? All the chairs are filled up. He said, please, let me get in. I can't sit even on the floor. And the guy said, no, I can't do it. He went to the driver. He told the driver, please, can you help me to get in this car? So I can sit even on the floor. So the driver looked at him, actually, the way he was looking physically, he had like a black pant, black shoes, white shirt, but the pant was so dirty, the shirt was so dirty, the shoes were so dirty, he was so dirty, the first impression when you see him and the judgment you're going to say, he's a madman. He's crazy, you know. He's a homeless. He's someone who lives on the street because he was very dirty and disgusting, you know. And the driver looked at him and he asked him, do you have money to pay? He said, no, I don't have money. So why do you want to get in the car if you don't have money? And he said, please let me in. And the driver said, okay, get in. Sit down on the floor. You know, the car was filled up. He sat down on the floor. A dirty man glorifying God. God is so great inside the car, inside the van. God is so good. God is so good. He gave me a life again. They was going to kill me. But because my God is alive, I'm living again. He's so good. That's why I glorify him all the time. And the people in the car, they was like, are you crazy? You are sitting down on the floor and you are making noise. You better shut up. And he couldn't shut up. He kept on talking, glorifying God. You are so good, my God. I love you. Oh, God, you gave me life. I was listening at him, and most of people in the car was mocking at him. And I was receiving and embracing his word because he was talking about God. I was listening to him. And we got to the big place, that big market. He got off. And he went to the driver. He said, "Thank you so much for helping me." And I was looking at him. And the driver said, "Okay, no problem." And he asked the driver, "What's your name?" The driver gave him his name. And he grabbed the piece of paper that was on the floor, and he wrote the name of that driver. He wrote it, he folded it, and he put it in his pocket. I was looking at him, and the driver was going to continue to keep on driving. Say, "Hey, stop, please. I'm going to get off here." So he stopped. I got off. I went to meet that guy. I approached him. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He looked at me. "What do you want?" I said, "No, I want to talk to you." He said, "Why do you want to talk to me?" I said, "I want to talk to you because I heard you talking about God inside the car." He said, "You really want to talk to me?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, good." He asked me, "What's your name?" I said, "My name is Matondo." He took out the piece of paper that he had in the pocket. He wrote my name again on that piece of paper. And he put it back in the pocket. And he stand, he said, "Okay, what's your name?" He said, "My name is Nyekami." So that name is in my language, because I belong from the tribe of Bakongo. And that name is in Kikongo. It's the name, his name was in Kikongo, Nyekami. So, and he told me, "Okay, do you have a clean piece of paper so I can write these names, the driver name and your name?" I said, "Okay, that's fine." I got a piece of paper, I gave him, and he said, "Can you write it?" I was looking the names, my name and the driver's name. I couldn't understand the way he wrote it. And the alphabet was not the ABC alphabet. It looked so strange, like I never seen that type of writing before. You know, I said, "I don't understand." I told him, "I don't understand this." He looked at me and he said, like, "Okay, I'm going to tell you the name of the driver. Write it the way you write. Write it the way you write." So I wrote the driver name and I wrote my name. He got it. He put it in his pocket. And I said, "Okay, you know what? I'm going to the hospital." So I started telling him, "I'm going to the hospital. My brother is in a coma. And all my siblings are there in the hospital. And what I need is just, if you can walk with me until that point where I'm going to get another car to go to the hospital." He said, "Okay, good." And he told me, "You are a very good friend." I said, "Thank you." He said, "Okay, let's talk." So we start walking. And I said, "You said that God gave you life again. You was going to die. Because our God is a living God and he gave you life. Can you explain to me what happened to you?" And we were walking together, you know. And he said, "Like, you know, I mean, I was seriously sick. I was going to die. And they stole everything that I had. And whatever that I have left is this bottle of medicine, you know. So they didn't steal it. God did not allow them to steal it. So this, the medicine that God allowed for me to take so I can survive." I couldn't understand him. I was so confused what he was saying. I said, "Come on, God gave you your life through this medicine? And And they said, okay, what you going to do with this medicine? He said, okay, I'm going to that market and sell it. I said, to who are you going to sell it? He said, well, sell it to someone. And actually, if you look at it, it was so dirty. It's like something that he have grabbed from garbage can. That it doesn't even have instruction. It didn't have like a expiration date. I mean, I said, nobody going to buy this. Anyways, if you approach someone to buy it, they're going to think you are crazy, you are a fool. Look how people were, how are mocking you. I told him that. And he looked at me. So do you think too that I'm crazy? I'm fool? I said, no, I didn't say that. But I'm telling you, you cannot sell this. He told me, someone going to buy it. Excuse me. He said, someone going to buy it. I said, okay, that's good. Someone going to buy it. I said, okay. So I said, do you go to church? I asked him. And he said, I'm always with God. I'm always with God. I said, wow. Okay, that's fine. I said, look, I want you to know that everybody is looking at you differently. And he asked me again, do you look me that way too? I said, no, I'm just trying to explain to you. He said, look, you see this place? There are so many people, multitude of people. And I'll tell you something. He was talking to me. He said, I'm telling you something. All these people, a lot of them are lost. That's what he was saying. A lot of these people are lost. They don't know God. They're living in ignorance. I said, look, I have to rush and get the car because I got to go to the hospital, you know. So what I'm going to tell you, sorry. I'm just going to put it away. Keep on falling. Okay. Okay, what I'm going to tell you, go back where you came from, you know. Go back where you came from. I ask you, where do you live? And they say, like, around that area where you saw me. I said, okay. He was so confused. I couldn't understand him, you know. And I said, okay, that's fine. Let's go. Because I got to see my brother is in the hospital. But thank you for explaining me. Thank you for explaining. I'm sorry. Thank you for explaining me everything. And stick with the God. And you got me. Stick with the God. Don't leave God. He said, I'm always with God. So we got to the point, and I was going to get the car there. And I said, look, see, I have to get one of those cars. I mean, I have to go. Okay, thank you so much. I have to go back. Go back where you came from. And he told me, yes, I'm going back. I'm going back. I said, okay, what about the medicine? You're going to take it back? He said, I already met you. So you're not going to sell it? You told me you're going to sell it. And he responded again, I already met you. And I said, okay, Kekam, I got to go. And he said, okay, wait. So he put his knees down and lifted his hand, a very simple prayer. Say, God Almighty, the creator of the universe, I give you glory and honor. That's what he said. He prayed. And when he finished praying, he spit it on the floor. So while I was talking to him, if you see him, his mouth was full of white saliva. Like someone who is dehydrated. Full of saliva. So when he spit it on the floor, it was a foam of speed, and he grabbed it with his hand like this, and his hand was full of saliva, white saliva, nasty. He scratched it on with his hand, and his hand was full of saliva, white one. And he came to me. He stretched his hand. Bruce, greet me. Oh my God, I said, should I greet him? Oh, his hand is full of saliva. And then I said, okay, that's fine, fine, that's fine. So I greeted him. He grabbed my hand. He shook it. He looked up straight at my face. He said, you are a very good friend. You are a very good friend. Wow, look, my hand was full of saliva. I'm the type of person. I don't like nasty things. My wife knows. My wife knows me well. I don't like even my food. If somebody touch it, I'm not going to eat it again. Why are you touching my food? You know, I have to clean it. You know, I have to clean it. That's the type of person I am. But I couldn't know how I allowed myself to greet him with that hand full of saliva. And after that, I forgot about it. I didn't even clean that saliva, dried out my hand. Jesus. And I told him, look, Yegami, it's time for me to go. And he was, okay, that's good. Now I'm going to let you go. I said, you go back where you came from, and I'm going to the hospital to see my brother. He said, okay, that's fine, Matondo, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. And I said, okay, bye-bye, bye-bye. So I started heading to go get a taxi, and he was going to another way. And while I was going, he turned around, he called me, Matondo. And I said, yes, I looked at him. And he took the piece of paper that he had written, my name and the driver's name. He said, you see this piece of paper? I said, yes. The driver's name is here. I said, I know. And your name also. I said, yes. He said, I will never gonna forget you. I have your name. You and the driver, I will never, ever forget you. I said, okay, that's fine. Get me. Okay, go. He started walking again, and then he called me again. Matondo, I looked around, said, yes. He said, I'm gonna come and visit you at your house. I was like, come on, you don't even know my address where I live, you know. How are you going to come and visit me? You know, this guy is so complicated, he's so confused, I can't understand him. I said, okay, that's fine. That's fine, that's fine. Okay, I'll come and visit you at your house. I said, that's fine. And that moment, I was thinking, okay, how this guy, he going to go back? Because when he came in, he didn't have money. And now how are you going to take a taxi back? And the money that I had in my pocket, it was the only exchange that I had to take the taxi to go to the hospital. And I was thinking, okay, if I give it to him, so how am I going to go? You know, I said, oh my God, I wish I had more money. You know, by that time I was broke. I didn't have any money. I said, okay, that's fine. He left. I took the car. Took the taxi going to the direction of the hospital. So while I was going to the hospital, I took the car. When I sat in the car, I fell asleep. Like deeply asleep that I didn't know, I couldn't even know that I was in a car. I slept deeply. And while I was sleeping in a car, I started to dream. I was dreaming. I got to the hospital. At the main entrance, my sister was sitting down there getting some fresh air. And I said, how are you doing? She said, fine. I said, okay, how's the brother? I said, well, up there. And your other two brothers, they're there. But nothing. He's still in a coma. I mean, we don't know. Just God. And I said, okay, that's fine. So I got the elevator, I went up there in the room where my brother was laid down, you know, he was in a coma, you know. That's in a dream, I'm dreaming, I'm in a car, I'm dreaming. Oh my God, saints, I know the time is short, but God told me that I have to finish this testimony. Please, don't rush. We cannot be rushing in the presence of God. Let God speak to us. Let you hear what God did in my life. It's very important. It's the same thing God did in my life. He can do it too in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when in a dream, I'm gonna speed up a little bit. In a dream, I got to the room and my two brothers, they were sitting there, and I asked them, "How is he?" And he was laying down there like a dead man. He was not even breathing, nothing. And you can see the color of his skin, he's changing. I mean, his physical look, you can see like a dead man already. I was God, my brother, you know? And then I'm dreaming. So he opened his eyes and he looked at me and he called me like with a hand like this. "Come here." So I went there and he asked me, he told me, "Wake me up." I woke him up, asking him, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm doing good." And that time when he said, "I'm doing good," in the car, the guy who was collecting the money, he touched me, "Come on, man, wake up." I woke up, I was like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" He said, "Everybody already paid. Just you dreaming, like you didn't sleep last night, and you sleeping deeply in a car. What's your problem? What's going on with you?" I couldn't even respond to him. I was so tired, and I felt my body. Even when I stood up, I was busy. I said, "God, what's going on here? What's going on? I'm dreaming in a car." I said, "Okay, that's fine. I paid his money. Okay, here." So I started walking from the hospital. It was not far away. I got there in the hospital. Just at the entrance, I saw my sister there. I said, "Okay, how you doing?" She said, "I'm doing good. Your brothers are upset. I'm just taking a fresh air. I'm sorry." I went upstairs. I saw my two brothers, and my brother was sick, laying on the bed, just like a dead man. So I sat down. He was in a coma. I sat down minutes after. The man laying down on the bed opened his eyes and straight to me. And he lifted his hand just like I saw it in a dream. Not even 20 minutes, he lifted his hand. I was like, "Oh my God." And my other two brothers, they panic. They were like, "Let's call the doctor, let's call the doctor." I said, "Calm down." They're older than me, I'm the youngest. I said, "Calm down, please." And he said, "Come here." And I went there. I grabbed him, I lifted him up, and praising the Lord, the tears are coming in my eyes, because I know I just saw this in a dream. I just saw this. And my brother would look, oh my God, he's safe. The doctor, they came there, they say, "How come, just like this?" And they asked him, "How you doing?" He said, I'm doing well. I lay down in the bed. So I was feeling like a crazy praising the Lord at that moment. God is so good. He do good things to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was running down. I forgot that there was an elevator in the building. I went down running on the stage so I can give a message to my sister that was outside, taking a fresh. So when she saw me running, and she started crying, "Oh my God, he died, my God, he died." I said, "No, he's alive." He was like, "What? He's alive." He left me there. He ran upstairs to see with her own eyes. He saw him with her eyes open. The doctor that came, they said, "This is a miracle. This is a miracle. This is have to come from God. This is a miracle." They said, "This is a miracle. God is with this man." So we stayed there all day. We praised the Lord. We gave thanks to God in the evening. So his wife stayed there. So we went back home. So when we went back home. And next day, so we have to come and see him again. So when we went back home, I'm going to be sure to finish with this. We went back home. So when we got home, I was so tired. And I told my nephew, I said, "Look, I'm going to take some time in my room, so don't disturb me, and I'm going to pray." And I stayed in my room while I was praying, and then I said, okay. It was very late. It was like, not too late, you know, but it was like 8 o'clock. So I said, okay, let me lay down on my bed a little bit. So I lay down my bed just to take a nap. So when I lay down on my bed, and suddenly, with my eyes open, I was not sleeping. With my eyes open, and suddenly, I saw a light, a bright light in front of me. And I was like a, kind of like a dizzy, laying down the light. I'm looking at the light. It's a circle of light. And someone in the light, standing in the light, in the air. That person was standing in the air, in the light. He was looking at me. And I was looking, and the light took over the control in the room. The room was so calm, and I'm just looking at the light. And the one that was standing in the light called my name. Say, "Matondo." I said, "Yes." I'm looking, I was like a kind of dizzy. Because the light was taking control. "Matondo," I say, "Yes." Just looking like this. And he said, "Can you see?" I said, "Yes, I see you. Do you know me?" I said, "No, I don't know you." He said, "I am Ngiekami, the one that you met, you spoke with. I told you I was going to come and visit you at your house." At the instant I went down on my knees and I started praising him. I said, "Lord, my God, Lord, my God." I couldn't even look at him anymore. The Bible said that every knee will go down and every tongue will confess that Lord Jesus is a God. Hallelujah. You will go down. You're not going to resist that presence. You will go down automatically because the Lord is standing there. All knees will go down and all tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah. I went down on my knees. I said, "Lord, my God, Lord, my God." He said, "Yes, I came to confirm you. Just like I told you, I'll come and visit you at your house." I said, "Yes, Lord." I was calling him Lord. "Lord, yes, Lord, you told me that." And he said that, "I saw your heart that you was going to give me, but you didn't have enough. But because you thought of giving me, that's mean you gave me." Hallelujah. When we're thinking to do good, even if we don't have it, we already did it. That's what the Lord said. And he said, "My name is Ngiekami." Ngiekami means lunar in English. I'll translate it. Lunar, someone who leans on people. Yeah. Someone who leans on people. He said, "My name is Ngiekami. I lean. My name is a lunar. I lean to whosoever leans on me. I also lean on that person. Because you have leaning on me, that's why I also leaning on you." Hallelujah. He was telling me that, and then I didn't hear the voice anymore. When I looked up, he was not there. See, I said, "I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to spend all my night praising the Lord. Because I could not sleep. I would be coming crazy. Because why just me, Lord? See all these things. Why just me?" I said, all night praying till 3 o'clock in the morning. I got tired and I lay down on a couch in my living room. Again, the light came again. And the person standing under the light said, "Matondo, I heard all your prayers. Go back to your bed and sleep. Tomorrow when you go to the hospital, you're going to see your brother sitting in a chair." I was like, "Oh my God, what's going on with me?" I went to bed. In the morning, me and my sister and my brothers, we went to the hospital. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
그러니까 시가 Oh God, once we're going on our way, I couldn't talk. I just was waiting to see what the Lord told me. So we got to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, at the entrance, there was an ambulance right there. And the ambulance and my brother sitting in a wheelchair. I ran to him. I touched him. I said, did you meet the leader? Because everything I'm seeing, he was like, look, what's going on? I said, he cannot understand. Oh, my God, what I'm seeing. Jesus Christ. What I am seeing, my God is so great. Every time the Lord show up in your life, he will give you a name. When he showed up to Moses, he told him, I am who I am. Hallelujah. When I met with him, he told me, my name is Ngegami. I'm a learner. I lean to whosoever leans on me. Hallelujah. I lean to whosoever leans on me. Hallelujah. Because I was walking, the Spirit of God took control of me. This is the point that I met him. Until he showed up in my house, until I went, the Spirit of God was taking control. Hallelujah. Just like a John in an island of Patmos, when the Lord gave him the testimony. Hallelujah. I'm not going to read the scripture because the time is running out. Hallelujah. When God spoke him by the things to happen in the Revelation. He was taken by spirit. Hallelujah. Ezekiel, he was taken by spirit. You and I, you can be taken by spirit. It's not just happening to me. It can happen to you too. Hallelujah. Because God has chosen us. Hallelujah. God has chosen us. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a quick scripture here. God has chosen us. He has called us. All of us, we are a calling from God. With a specific area. Hallelujah. Which makes the church that glorify the name of God. Do not say that I have not chosen. Every one of us, we have a job, we have a duty to do. We have been chosen by God. Hallelujah. When God, he called his disciples. I'm going to read it quick. I have to close this sentence. When God called his disciples. Hallelujah. God called his disciples. Matthew 10:1. And he called him. Oh, Jesus. This phone is acting up. Can somebody read it? My phone is not acting up. Okay. Somebody read it. Yeah, 10:1. I got it. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. And he started mentioning the name of all disciples. The same way God has called us. Hallelujah. He called you, he called me, called Lauren, called Bruce, called Terry, called Steve, called Zephyrin, called Blaze, called Bunny, called Leslie, called Angel. We are called all us. And he gave us the power and that power to heal all the sickness. We cannot limit ourselves because our God is unlimited. Because our God lives in us. If our God is unlimited, and we are unlimited too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's evolve the Spirit of God. Now I'm going to call it short. Because people of God, I want you to come from. I want to come forth in the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, when God promised the disciple that the Holy Spirit will come down, hallelujah. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Let's tell the Holy Spirit today, we want to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Our God is not unlimited. Let's allow him. to do whatever he can do in our life. Those who feel that they are sick, whatever pain that you have, hallelujah, our God is over all this, hallelujah, above everything, hallelujah. Our God is above everything, hallelujah. He can heal, hallelujah. He will touch our children. He will touch our parents, hallelujah. He will heal all the sickness that we have, hallelujah. Angel, get me praise. Angel, get me praise. Hallelujah. We cannot limit, hallelujah. All we have to do is avail ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And Bruce has been talking about it, that we have to pray until we see the manifestation of our God. Because in this building, we praise the Lord Jesus. In this building, we praise Jesus Christ. And we are here to talk about Jesus Christ. And we are here to lift the name of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ who healed my brother, who was in a coma, he can heal you and can heal me too. There's nothing impossible for him. That Jesus Christ who took my brother out of coma, he can heal you for whatever sickness that you have, for whatever problem that you may be facing in your life. Because our God is a mighty God and he's a powerful God, unlimited. We cannot limit him for nothing. And today we're going to give glory to God. We're going to praise our God.